again this evening, Lord, and we pray that you'll come and speak to us. Open up your word. Come and reveal a mystery and a truth to us again this evening, Lord. For some of us, it's a word we know well, and we pray for us that it will be rekindled. We're reminded. Some of us, it will be new. We'll take it and have the revelation of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much. Thank you, band. That was amazing. Welcome, welcome back, all the men. We had a great weekend away. And it's so important that we spend time together. And I'd like to encourage you. We have a lot of influences in the world. It's good to have a weekend where we sometimes just come together as brethren. And we just chill together. And something about this weekend, it wasn't a fully spiritual weekend. It was spiritual as we went surfing, but that's as spiritual as we got. And I encourage you to be able to find rest amongst believers. So often we, as Christians, are so often in a battle, as Greg was sharing, made me think it's so often that we feel weary because we continually feel like we're in a battle. And take that time out, grab a few mates, and go camping. Amen. It's a great privilege this evening for me to invite Peter Vassaval back. He's an elder here in the church, and he's got an incredible word. Please receive this word, make it your own. Peter, thank you for spending and taking the time out to hear from God and sharing the word with us. Welcome. Can we give him a round this evening?
Thank you, Bernie. Evening, everyone. So, I feel like I need to give a bit of an introduction before I even start with tonight's word that I have in my heart and just tell you guys what I feel my conviction and my belief of God is. And I've always said this, and it's, I believe quite strongly that everything we have belongs to God and that nothing we have belongs to ourselves. And that he is the owner of the, not only the cattle of 1,000 hills, but Psalm 50 verse 10 says that he owns the world and everything that is in it, okay? Which ultimately means that we own nothing, okay? We will never own anything. And there's a scripture that I just read again this morning that says, and naked we came into this world and naked we will depart, which means we can't take anything with us. So we only are temporarily stewarding whatever is already God's. And I also believe that our main purpose here on earth, it took me quite a while to figure this out for myself. But I believe that my main purpose for me here on earth is to become more like Jesus. And as I become more like him, and as I start following hard onto him, after him, and being transformed into his likeness, I ultimately will be building the kingdom, because he's the one that builds his kingdom. And he's the one that builds the house. If he's not building a house, then the laborers labor in vain. So one of the things that Jesus particularly called himself when he was here on earth, and that he mentions a lot in the word, is something that Bernie brought up earlier. He says, I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep, or for my sheep. That's one of his main characteristics, and one of the main things that Jesus chose to compare himself or to was as a shepherd. So the word I have on my heart tonight is really one of us understanding what Jesus is like as the shepherd, and how we need to transform into that same likeness of him being a shepherd, and how we ultimately all have to become shepherds like Jesus was and lay down our lives for the sheep, which is ultimately his people and the people here in Cape Town. So yeah, maybe before I just dive into it, I just want to pray for us and just trust that God will come and reveal something into our hearts, what he's been showing to me over the last 2 months. Lord, we just come and humble ourselves before you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness, Lord. We thank you that you are the good shepherd, Lord. Thank you that you've laid down your life for us as your sheep, Lord God. And I thank you for your blood that was poured out for us, Lord. And I thank you that even tonight, Lord, you will reveal to each and every one of us, Lord, what it really means to be shepherds, Lord, of the flock, Lord. And I thank you that you're going to raise up shepherds from our congregation, Lord, and from the people here tonight. I thank you that the true shepherds will just stand up, Lord. The people, the spiritual shepherds, Lord, will just rise up, Lord God, and they will go and fulfill their God-given mandate that you've given us, Lord God. And I thank you that as we are shepherds, God, Lord, that the city will just be transformed and changed, Lord God. And thank you that as we change and as we become more like you and as we start walking in your likeness as a shepherd, Lord, and as the true shepherd, Lord, that the sheep will come into your flock, Lord, and into your fold, Lord, that the people will just start pouring in, Lord God. I just trust you for a massive salvation for the people of Cape Town, Lord God. And I thank you that as they come in, Lord, you are the chief shepherd, Lord, and you will teach us, Lord, how to protect those sheep, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. Thank you that you will come and speak to us tonight, Lord. I just come and, yeah, give you my heart and my lips, Lord, and I pray that you will take over and that you will just speak to everyone here tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I don't know how many of you were at Freedom Weekend. What was it, about 2 months ago? Some of you were there on the first night. I just shared a bit of my testimony. But during the worship, I just had a vision from God. It wasn't exactly like that, but it's similar to that. That's quite an intense one. But the story of David just played off in the back of my mind as I was worshiping, and I just saw God speaking to Samuel and saying to Samuel, I know that scripture very well, but God was speaking to Samuel, and he was saying, Samuel, I have chosen, I no longer want Saul to be the king. I have chosen another king for Israel, and he's one of the sons of Jesse, and I want you to fill up your ram's horn with oil and go over and anoint him as a new king of Israel. And then Samuel told God, he said, no way, there's no way I'm going to go there. Saul, if Saul finds out that I'm going to go and anoint another king, then surely he will kill me. So nevertheless, Samuel went over to Jesse's household and he pretended that he was going there for the sacrifice. He didn't actually make known that he was going to go and anoint another king. But as he got there, he asked Jesse to bring his sons so that they could pass before Samuel. I think everyone knows the story, but this was now what was going through my mind as we were worshiping. I just saw this whole story playing out in front of me. And first, I can't even remember their names, but the sons of Jesse, Abinadab or something, they started passing through before Samuel. And every one of them, first, obviously, Jesse had the strongest sons pass before and the best-looking sons and the ones that were kind of oldest. And every time Samuel just said, no, this is not the one that God has chosen. This is not the one God has chosen. And eventually after all, I think five of them passed by, six, Samuel said, no, surely you have to, there must be another one, because none of these are the one that God told me that's need to. So, and Jesse, I just see it so clearly, and it was so profound that he kind of realizes, oh, shucks, and I forgot about this other son of mine. He's out there in the field. I never obviously even thought about inviting him. But Samuel said, go call him. And as David came, I mean, immediately God revealed to Samuel that this is the king. And then I just saw David kneeling before Samuel and the horn of oil being poured over him and anointing oil for him to become king. And then there was a afterwards, and I just in my vision just saw that event, and then I saw Samuel leaving, and he left, and David had to go back again to the sheep, and it was, I never really understood it, but during the visions, God started showing me that there was a significant thing there where Samuel anointed him as king and then left David there with his brothers and his father, 13 years old now, what now, I mean, but then I just saw David going back to the sheep, and it became night, evening rather, and as he was tending to the sheep, a lion came, and at that moment, God just showed me a vision of, I thought it was David, but then I realized it wasn't David in the vision, it was actually me. I was actually David there, and the lion was coming in against me, and I had the sheep there with me. And I just saw myself, and I was completely sort of overtaken with fear. There was no way I was going to do anything to that lion. I just saw him coming at the sheep. And actually, I found myself, or I saw myself just praying, like, God, please just take away this lion. I mean, this is not what I signed up for. I was anointed as king. And here I am back tending to the sheep, and here's this lion that's coming at me. Take him away. Please, God, just deliver me from this lion. Take him away. And I just clearly heard God responding to me during that time, saying, I'm not going to take this lion away. In fact, I allowed this lion to come. And I've given you the authority that you need to be able to face this lion. So that's the vision that I saw on it. I shared it that evening briefly. Some of you might remember it. But I went back home, and I knew that I hadn't really understood the vision completely. I thought it was applicable to my own personal situation. I thought, okay, I'm facing some tough challenges, and I just need to toughen up and face the lion, and God has already given me what I need to. And that's what I thought it meant. But it actually had a deeper meaning, which I believe was prophetically for us as a church, of what God is wanting to do now. And I said it earlier, Jesus really wants to reveal to us what it means to be a shepherd, and what David ultimately understood something there that I clearly didn't understand. And I must actually confess, as I was bringing this word this morning to the church, I was so convicted all the way through. I really still don't fully understand this, the meaning of being a true shepherd like Jesus was, laying down my life completely for the sheep and taking up my authority that he's given me. I don't fully understand that yet. So I'll just throw it out there. There's no condemnation for anyone. If you also feel that you're not quite there yet where David was, then don't feel alone, because I'm still also there. Okay, but I want us to just go through the scriptures, and just, I believe that there's a definite story in David's life which is representative of Jesus's life, which is ultimately representative of our own lives. Does that make sense? So there's a prophetic message in the story of David being anointed by Samuel, going back to the sheep, being a shepherd again before he came king. And that same story played itself out during Jesus' time here on earth, and the same story, I believe, needs to play out in each and every one of our lives. So the first thing that happened is, the scripture says, 1 Samuel 16 verse 1, the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." And then we see in 1 Peter 2 verse 9, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." And I just immediately understood that in the same way that God chose David, God chose him as king, and he actually went out. I just believe that God, in the same way, chose each and every one of us. I just became aware again of the fact that I was lost in my sin, and I was a sheep, basically, without a shepherd. But God chose me, and he specifically came to me. And I remember the night when I read the scripture for the first time, 1 Peter 2 verse 9. It was on the 14th of August 2002. And God spoke to me, and he just revealed to me that he had chosen me, and that I'm a royal priesthood, and that this is what he wants for me. And I remember that night giving my life to Jesus, and just everything changing. So I just believe, in the same way that God chose David, he just chose each and every one of us. It's important to know that. And then the second part of that scripture goes on, and it says, 1 Samuel 16 verse 13, it says, "Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, being David, in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David." Once again, 2 Corinthians 1 verse 21 to 22 says, "It's God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He has anointed us, he has set his seal of ownership on us, and he's put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come." See, he did exactly the same to us as what he did there to David the day that Samuel anointed him. Jesus also, and God also, anointed us, and he gave us his Spirit. It says there, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. It says in 2 Corinthians, he put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit. And if you go and read Acts 1 verse 8, most of you know the scripture, it says, "You will receive power when the Holy Holy Spirit come upon you. Like David received power as the Spirit came powerfully over him. Do you see the analogy? There's a very similar, what David went through, most of us, if not all of us, have gone through a similar process where we just felt that God came and he reached out to us and he saved us. He chose us and he saved us and then he anointed us and he put his Spirit in our hearts. Some of us have been baptized with the Spirit. And then the power of the Holy Spirit comes over us. How many of you remember when you were baptized in the Holy Spirit? And can you remember? I remember vividly back in 2002. It was towards the end of the year, end of November. I remember being on a camp and I saw someone share a testimony with me of a miracle that just happened to them. Their foot was blue and swollen and I don't know if it was broken, but it was badly injured. And the lady that shared with me laid her hand on her foot and her foot got healed. And I remember saying, going outside, it was on a camp in Franschhoek, and I went outside and I told God, I need to see this power of your Holy Spirit. I want your Holy Spirit. I want to experience the power of your Holy Spirit. And I went back into the room. I'd been saved about 3 months then. But I went back into the gathering. We were praising and worshiping. And I asked them to pray, some of the people in there to pray for me so that I can also receive the Holy Spirit. And I remember as the Holy Spirit came over me, it was as if it was like a wind that just blew over me. And immediately I knew that I'd receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And I mean, I almost want to say there's this honeymoon period. I remember the first few months after that event happened. Everywhere I went, it was just amazing how this power just manifested. There were times when we were just, the miracles and the number of healings and things that happened. I was completely immature in my walk with the Lord. But I mean, I prayed for a lot of people that got healed instantaneously and delivered from all kinds of evil spirits. In that time period, the power of the Lord was definitely mightily upon me. I remember one day in our school meeting, I just had a word from God, and I just went up to the pedestal. And I was in a very strict boys' school, but I just felt I need to be obedient and share this word now, and I unclipped the mic from the stand there, and I just walked to the front on the stage, and I just fell on my knees, and I just said, I believe that God wants to come and save this school, and He wants to come and save all of you. And His timing is perfect. I can't remember exactly what the word was that God laid on my heart. But then afterwards, one of the guys came to me, and he said it was as if there was this light that just shone, sort of as they looked at. I mean, he told it to me. I just remember that time. Let's just say the Holy Spirit is amazing. Amen. And there is power, and we have received that power when the Holy Spirit came upon us. And if you haven't experienced that yet, then I really trust that tonight afterwards we'll pray for you guys. So, same thing that happened to David happens to us. We have been chosen. We are a royal priesthood. We've been anointed as kings and priests. We have received the Holy Spirit, and it came over us. And in the same way that David received power when the Holy Spirit came upon him, we also did receive that power. So, but then the interesting thing is that when David, I said it earlier, when David was anointed as king, he was 13 years old, okay? And if you go and read the scriptures, he only became king when he was 30 years old. So there's this 17-year period between when the anointing is on David, when he was anointed to become king, and when he actually became king. And it wasn't actually, if you go and read it, it wasn't a great time for David. I mean, he was immediately sent back to go and take care of his father's sheep the same way he used to before. And I mean, he just faced all kinds of opposition. Obviously, there was interesting times later on, but I mean, the message that I believe God is wanting to tell us is that 1 Peter 5, verse 2 to 4 says, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. So I believe there's this time period between when we get anointed and chosen by God and told we're going to be kings and priests with him one day, and the time when we actually meet the chief shepherd and when we actually receive the crown of glory that fades away. And the same, that's almost like the 17-year period that David had. That's our time period, basically, until we meet Jesus one day. It's a time of shepherding. It's not a time of kingship. It's not a time where we haven't received the king yet. It's not necessarily a time of glory and honor and being established as kings and priests in the land. We actually have to go back to the flock and back to the sheep, and we have to go and tend the sheep again. And that the impartation of the Holy Spirit was very significantly given to us for this time period. Okay? This 1 Peter 5 verse 2 says specifically, go and tend to the sheep, shepherd the flock of God which is among you. At the end, when you meet the chief shepherd, you'll receive the crown of glory. So the same way David, after he was anointed and he received the Holy Spirit, the same way he then had to go back to the sheep and go be a shepherd again for the sheep, even after he was anointed as king, the same way we have to become shepherds and we meet Christ and we get the anointing of the Holy Spirit and we experience it, but we have to, God is calling us as shepherds here on earth. So I just think that's a powerful analogy, and I'll get to the gist of it. But when David went back to his sheep, I think we need to go and look carefully at what happened there. He went back to the sheep. As I said in the vision, the lion came. For me, I was petrified. I mean, I wasn't going to face that lion. But David had a very different understanding. And if we read 1 Samuel 32:16, verse 32 to 36, I just want us to stand still there for a moment and just look at what David did. It says, this is now at the, David had, his father had told him to take some provisions for his brothers at the battlefield. They were busy fighting the Philistines, and as when David got there, he just saw Goliath, and he just said, no way, I'm not going to allow this guy to defy the armies of the living God. And he went to Saul, and he told Saul, I'm going to fight this. This is what he told Saul. Verse 32, David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. And then Saul replied, you are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth. And then in verse 34, but David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. Strange that that is what he's referring to when he's trying to convince Saul that he can go and fight this Goliath. And then he says, when a lion or bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, listen to this, verse 35, I went after it. Okay, so just think about it. He's out there in the field busy tending to the sheep, and a lion comes and he catches one of the sheep and he carries it off. Okay, now what, I mean, a lot of us would just be too happy that the lion took one of the sheep and not us. Okay, no way you're going to go after that lion, right? But he went after the lion. He wasn't willing to let go of one sheep because he understood something, right? So there's something I believe God is wanting to say to us. He went after the lion. He struck the lion, and he rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, okay, so now he's rescued this poor little lamb or the sheep out of the lion's mouth. The thing survived, I don't know how. When it turned on me, so now the lion comes after David, right? I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Okay. That's quite amazing. And that's what a shepherd's supposed to do. Shepherd's not someone who looks after the sheep all day, walking around with his staff. He's actively confronting the enemy. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. I don't know what a bear. I never knew bears ate sheep, but I actually read, while I was preparing for the sermon, I read about an article that was just recently, 2014, about a bear there in the U.S. that just went bazonkers and killed 50 sheep on a guy's farm. Bears also kill sheep. But David understood something, right, about being a shepherd. And I believe there's something in there that God wants to reveal to us tonight about what it means to become shepherds. Remember, Jesus is the ultimate shepherd. We need to become more like him. We need to understand what it means to be shepherds. There's something powerful in the story of David that we can learn what it means to become shepherds. I actually want to just skip to the two slides. And this is something that where it dawned on me, and what I really believe, what was God was trying to tell me there while I was in that vision, while I was sitting there not able to face the lion. This is what I believe God is showing us. Okay, it says, Jesus says in John 10, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, or the lion, or the bear coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. And that's what God was saying to me. He was saying to me, if you want to be a shepherd in the same way that I'm a shepherd, there's no running away when the lion and the bear comes. It says that the hired hand was just there for what he could get out of it. He didn't own the sheep. He was really just there. He was appointed to look after the sheep, and he was there, and all of a sudden this wolf comes. I mean, there's no way he's going to fight the wolf. He doesn't even care about the sheep, so he's just going to run away. So what he does is he'll just go to another farmer next door and look after his sheep again, because he's only there for what he can get out of it, right? And I believe what God was saying to me is, you're in my service, and you're doing some of the things I've asked you to do, but you're really just there for what you can get out of it. And when the going gets tough, and when someone comes to actively confront and scatter the sheep and catch the sheep, you're going to run away. Are you going to run away, or are you going to stand there and confront this beast or this wolf that's coming in against my flock? And obviously the flock is Jesus, is the people. And if we look at Cape Town, the flock refers to the people that are already, that have already come through the gate, like Bernie said earlier. Jesus is the gate, and anyone who wants to come into the flock needs to come through Jesus, meaning getting salvation, coming into the flock. But then there's a lot of people out there that Jesus says they're not yet part of my flock, but I want them to be part of my flock. They need to come through the gate, right? So, but once they come into the flock, the wolf comes in, and the wolf wants to scatter the flock. So if the hired hand runs away, then the wolf comes in and he scatters the flock. He scatters God's people. He breaks the unity that is in the house and in us as a church. And once he breaks that unity, and we're all on our own, we're all alone, then it's easy for him to take us out, right? There's no shepherd. You're on your own. You've been scattered, and then the enemy comes and takes us out. So when Bernie was talking about it earlier, some of us have been drawn. There's actually the previous scripture. I want to go back to that. 1 John 10, verse 7 to 10. Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come so that they may have life and have it to the full. Some translations say that they may have it abundantly. They may have life in abundance. The thief calls and lures out the sheep. Jesus says, yeah, he doesn't listen to them. It means that it's obviously not another sheep or another wolf. I mean, they can't speak. So it's talking about the enemy will come and lure us out of the flock and try and get us out of the flock. And so that we're on our own, so that he can take us out. But we ultimately have been called to protect not only God's flock, not only to confront the enemy when one of us get taken out, but also to bring in the lost and scattered sheep of Cape Town. And I really believe that as we understand this concept of shepherding, there's going to be a massive change in the way we approach the city and the people of this church, and the people that God have called us to both protect and to bring back into the fold and bring them through the gate. So, about a month ago, Tiens preached a sermon about, and he put forward the story of the disciples. And he said that they'd walked with Jesus for 3 years, or how long did they walk with Jesus? I think about 3 years. And they saw all the miracles that he did. And obviously there's no way that any of the disciples could have doubted whether Jesus was the Son of God and whether he was doing miracles. Obviously they saw all of that. So Tiens was specifically talking about Judas that betrayed Jesus. And Tiens put forward something that really got me thinking. He said Judas didn't lose the plot. He didn't get angry at Jesus. Jesus and thought, I mean, he's not the Son of God. He actually knew that Jesus was going to become king, but he thought that if he could somehow fast track this process and get the authorities to find Jesus, then Jesus is going to rise up and he's going to take up his place as king. And then Judas would be right next to him as his head of finances, and he's going to be established in his role. That's why there was so much of remorse when Judas found out, no, this isn't what happened. They actually killed Jesus and they actually crucified Jesus. So Peter and some of the other disciples, I think, had very much the same view. I mean, they saw Jesus, they saw all the work that he did, they thought he was going to become the new king. And it actually says when Jesus started talking to his disciples, he started preparing them. He started saying to them, I first have to be crucified. I have to lay down my life. Peter said, no way. That's not happening. You're going to become king. No one's going to touch you. No one's going to dare take you. You're going to become king. And then Jesus obviously told him, you don't understand anything. He actually told him, get behind me, Satan, for you are advancing the purposes. You don't understand the purposes of God and what God is busy doing here. They didn't understand that Jesus' kingdom was of a different world, and it wasn't here of the world here. And I think a lot of us are the same. We actually don't understand that we have to go through this period before one day we'll be crowned as kings and with Jesus, and one day we'll enter into our royalty and into kingship with him. But during the time here, it's very much a period of shepherding God's flock, and there's a lot of suffering that's associated with that. So for Peter, I mean, when Jesus was captured and he was being taken through the, he denied Jesus three times. He didn't know what was going on. He didn't understand it. And he actually denied Jesus three times. So the scripture goes on to say that Jesus, after he was crucified, he raised back from the dead, and then the disciples was out fishing again. And Jesus came onto the beach, and he called them, and he said, why don't you throw your nets out on the other side? And they said, look, we haven't been catching anything all day, but they threw the nets out, and they had a big haul of fish. And as it was so big that they couldn't pull it in, and you all know the story, how they eventually came through to the beach, and they realized this was obviously not Jesus, because there's no other way that this miracle could have happened. And as they got to the beach, he was making a little breakfast for them. And then he has this conversation with Peter, which I think is very profound, and which I think we need to listen to and look at. Because a lot of us need to have the same conversation with Jesus that Peter had with him right there. Peter didn't understand that Jesus called him to a life of servanthood and to a life of being a shepherd and to a life of laying down your life. He thought he called him to a life of royalty with him as the king of Israel. Are you all with me? Does it make sense? Judas also thought that. They thought, Jesus is going to become king. He's called me to a life of royalty with him as the king. I'm going to be his right-hand man. I'm going to be right there next to him. They didn't understand that what Jesus actually called them to was a life of laying down their life and serving the flock and becoming shepherds of the flock, going after the enemy, confronting the enemy, putting their lives at risk. And Jesus told Peter this, and when they finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter said, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. So, Jesus is trying to reveal to Peter what this is all about now. Peter's now denied him. Jesus is raised from the dead, and Jesus is now speaking to Peter again, and he's trying to explain to him, realign, and he's trying to reveal to him what it's all about. So Peter tells him, I love you, and Jesus tells him, feed my lambs, be a shepherd. Okay, that's what Jesus tells him. Again, Jesus said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And then Jesus said, take care of my sheep. Okay, this is now the third time Jesus said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus was asking him the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And then Jesus said again, feed my sheep. Okay? So, if you go and look at the scriptures, Peter denied Jesus three times. Okay? And he denied even knowing him and being sided with his party. And in this instance, three times, prophetically, Jesus reinstates Peter here at this moment. He reinstates him. Three times in a row, Jesus acknowledges, Peter acknowledges Jesus. He says, I love you. I love you. I love you. And at the third time, Peter understands something. And that last time when Peter said that, then he realized that it wasn't a love as in a friendship love. Obviously, he loves Jesus, and he spent very close time with him. He was a close companion to Jesus, but he understood that that love that Jesus demanded of him or asked of him was an unconditional agape love, one of laying down your life. And Jesus, that's why Jesus said, take care of my sheep, feed my lambs. Even though Jesus denied him, Jesus reinstated him right there as a shepherd, in his role as a shepherd. Okay, and right then afterwards, Jesus starts saying, now that you understand this, it's a pity I should have thrown it up onto the slides, but after Peter understood this, Jesus said, explained to him that you will be crucified, you will go through many sufferings, and eventually you will die for me. You will be crucified on a cross. Okay? Jesus told that to Peter right after the scripture. So I just believe that Jesus is wanting to reveal to us something through the scripture. That we, if we understand what it means and what he's called us to as shepherds of the flock, and we understand that the enemy is going to come in against the people. God is calling us for the people of the city. Amen. And he wants to raise us. If we want to be effective in reaching the city, we have to understand that he's calling us as shepherds. We have to become like him. We have to become shepherds like him in order to bring in the flock. There's people scattered all over the city in need of a savior. Jesus says when he saw the crowds and when he saw the masses, he was moved with compassion because he saw that they were just people that were bewildered and perplexed like sheep without a shepherd. That's what Jesus said, right? He understood, and he had a heart for the lost. He understood that they needed to come into his fold, that they had to enter into the through the gate, which is Jesus, into the flock. And then obviously once they're there, he understands that as a shepherd, we need to protect this flock. We need to make sure that no wolf is going to come and scatter the flock. We need to remain in unity. We need to remain together as a flock, okay? And we need to actively, if any one of us gets taken out by a lion or a bear, Jesus wants us to go after the enemy, to bring back that sheep that has been taken. He will not allow any one of us to go. But if we start understanding that, we won't allow anyone to be taken out of our flock. You see what I'm saying? People are leaving this flock left, right, and center every day. Not every day, luckily, praise the Lord, not every day people are leaving our flock. But the body of Christ, people are leaving the kingdom every day, being lured away by the thief and the enemy that's coming and telling them lies and drawing them out of the flock. And the other reason why they're leaving is because the enemy comes in and we're not taking up our role as shepherds to protect the flock. And we go away, we run like hired servants, we run away. Because we're just here for what we can get from it, or what we can get from God, or how we can, what we can get from Cape Town. We're definitely not here for the people of Cape Town, and we're not going to protect them till death almost. So if we understand that we need to lay our lives down for the sheep, like Jesus laid down his life for the sheep or for the people, if we understand that, I think our approach to the city is going to be very different. Okay, so I really trust and believe that there's going to be something incredible can happen if we grasp this and if we start moving into this. Remember, we were chosen like David was chosen. We were anointed in the same way that David was anointed. We received the Holy Spirit, some of us. If not all of us, then we can trust for that tonight. We received the Holy Spirit. We received the power of the Holy Spirit. We did not receive it in vain. We received it for a reason. We received the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can confront the lion and the bear, to confront the enemy. We didn't receive it so that we can have these, I don't know, whatever. We received it because we need to war, go out and take up that power and take up that authority and confront the enemy to protect the flock. That's why we received it. We received it so that we can be shepherds of God's flock. And that's part of us becoming more like Jesus. He understood this, right? So as David then was anointed king, in the same way, before he could become king, he had to go back and be a shepherd. In the same way, before we can become kings, before we can receive our crown of glory one day, when Jesus comes back, that's when we will become kings and priests. For the time being, he's sending us out as shepherds, and we have to be shepherds of his flock. We have to gather in the sheep that have been scattered. We have to protect the sheep in the same way that David had to do it. And I believe that some of us, I just want to say it over every one of us that we don't have a choice. We're not hired hands. We're not going to run away. when the lion and the bear comes. And it's going to be intimidating. I'm sure David also, for a moment there, saw a lion. Okay, and no one, I mean, I get these dreams. I don't know, some people have nightmares. My nightmare, the only nightmares I ever really have is of lions chasing me and coming for me. I don't know if any of you have. Some people drive off cliffs and other people have other things. I've only ever, this is the one thing that's going to come and intimidate us most. It's a very powerful force that actually has the ability to take us out. I don't have the ability to stand up against a lion. It's a very real threat that comes in. And if you think with your rational mind, you would run, okay? Or you would just be too glad that that lion took out one of your sheep and not you, right? So we have to get beyond the point of rationality. We have to get beyond the point of making a peace with the fact that the enemy is now just a thief and he just steals. And a lot of us just says, ah, the enemy again, he's taken again from me. He's taken another sheep or he's done this again. And he's so, and you can't, and you just blame the enemy for everything that goes wrong. You need to confront the enemy. You need to go after the enemy. Like David did, you need to grab the lion by its manes or by its hair and hit it on its head and kill it. In the same way that David did it. And then one day we will become kings with Jesus. Romans 8, verse 14 to 19. There's that scripture that just immediately came to my mind as I was thinking about this. It says, all of creation, the version that I have, the amplified one, that doesn't read that well, but this is where it says, all of creation eagerly awaits and anticipates the manifestation of the sons of God. That's us, right? I just believe that there can be an amazing power if we just understand this and we understand that we've received the Holy Spirit and we understand that we can take out the enemy and we understand that we don't need to allow anyone to come in against and scatter the enemy or the wolves. I mean, this is, the wolf is all around us. Society, one of the people that brought a word earlier spoke about this. There's in every sphere of society, politically, economically, in our schools, everywhere, the enemy is coming in, right? You need to start identifying the wolves. We need to start identifying the lions and the bears. A lot of us don't even see them. We don't even know them. Every now and again, you see there's another sheep gone. We don't even know how they're coming in. But if we really start trusting God for discernment, we'll see that the wolf is actually coming in a lot of different ways against us. And we need to actively prevent that. The enemy from scattering and from coming in against God's people, right? So we need to be the ones standing up against authorities. A lot of times it's I just love this organization in our church. It's people in our church. It's not a cause for justice. And now that the whole, it's this whole pornography on television thing. They fought that thing like you won't believe. They understood that if all of a sudden pornography is available everywhere, the sheep is going to be exposed to it, okay? And if we start getting exposed to it every single day, we're vulnerable to it, and they just won't allow it. They just won't allow it. They went to the high court. They raised, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of rands they spent on legal costs, actively confronting the wolf, and they took the wolf out. They won that lawsuit. Now they're back in, they're fighting so many things. If we start understanding this and we start seeing that there's changes in our legislation in this country that's potentially going to disrupt and scatter the sheep, we need to confront that. We need to take up our role as shepherds. Not all of us are going to do the same thing. Not all of us have been called to the same group of sheep. Some of us have specifically been called to the prostitutes. Some of us have been specifically called to the farm working community, like I have feel led and called by God to go and protect them. They're being exploited from all angles with the market forces out there that's just causing havoc. And I just felt God saying, you need to go in and protect them. Some of us are called to a different, every one of us is probably called different groups of people. But we really need to trust and ask God to show us what people in the city he has called us to. Okay? Some of us are only called, to the flock, to protect the flock, make sure that nothing comes here. But some of us are called to go out there in the field to the scattered and lost sheep of Cape Town and to go and bring them in. You need to start trusting God to show you what your role as shepherd needs to be. So I believe as we start doing that, Romans 8 says, I'm not even going to read the whole scripture, but it says that nothing, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also, okay, let me just read the whole scripture. Romans 8 verse 14 to 19. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. Okay? Fear is what I had there in the vision when the lion came. You received the spirit of adoption by whom we cried, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. The sons of God, I just a hired hand. There's so many times when Jesus draws a comparison between the servant and the son. The servant is just there for what he can get out of the household. He's earning a wage, but when things get tough, he runs away. The shepherd or the son is there. He knows that the sheep belongs to his father. David was there knowing that that sheep belongs to his father. He's not going to let anyone take from it. So we need to take up our sonship. And that's what the sons of God, that's the revelation, the manifestation or the revelation of the sons of God. That's going to impact our society like you won't believe. The very Peter that denied Jesus three times, after Jesus recommissioned him back in his role as shepherd, you all know what happened, right? I mean, he was just so full of and controlled by the Holy Spirit. There was no stopping him. He went out in his role as shepherd, remember? Jesus said, feed my lambs. Care for my sheep. Shepherd my flock. Jesus told him and commissioned him specifically as a shepherd. And when he understood that, the power of the Holy Spirit was mightily upon him. He walked through the streets. The people were bringing the lame and the sick and the people with diseases and impure spirits. And he was just walking there so that his shadow might fall on them. And they just got healed. Can you imagine that? I just believe that all of creation eagerly awaits us. The manifestation of the sons of God or the shepherds of God in the city. And I really believe that there can be a massive impact. And I believe, I mean, that word that came forward, I mean, I believe. Oh, 5 minutes. I just need one. I really believe that there is a time that's coming, and Pastor Fred confirmed this last week when I met with him. He said there's a time that's coming when, if we remember, I brought a prophetic word. Some of you will remember, those that listen to my sermons, about the Moseses that God is calling back from the desert to come and confront the powers and principalities and the authorities, the pharaohs of the land that's keeping the people in bondage, and then to lead them out of bondage and out of captivity to the promised land. And I really believe that there's a time that's coming when those Moseses in our midst is going to start standing up, confronting the powers and the principalities in a similar way that I spoke about earlier. And there's going to be an opportunity for us to reach the sheep that have been in bondage for so many years and so long. There's a lot of people in the city that we almost can't reach, even if we wanted to, because they're just held captive and they're held bondage by the powers and principalities that we have here in the city. But I believe that when that window opens, we need to understand what it means to be shepherds so that we can bring those sheep into God's flock. And I believe that there's going to be a massive opportunity for us if we embrace that. I believe that there's going to be a massive opportunity. There's no reason why this church shouldn't be full of flock, full of people from this city, right? So I really want to just tonight take some time to just, I believe Jesus wants to recommission some of us. I, for one, need to be recommissioned. Someone can pray for me as well. I was convicted more this morning than most of you will be convicted tonight. I want to see the power of the Holy Spirit upon me. I want to go out in the city and the lion dare not take one of the sheep that God has entrusted to me. I'll go after it and I will take it by its hair and I will hit it on its head and I will kill it. That's what I'm trusting God for. I remember those days back in when I felt that power of the Holy Spirit so powerfully on me. And I believe that time is coming back to us. A lot of us, I want to start hearing testimonies every week. I just told Bernie, I just want to hear people coming and sharing of how the power of the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they laid hands on people and they got healed. And they walked through the street. Some of you must come and tell us about your shadow that touched someone next to the street. Any case, I really believe that's what's going to happen. That's what needs to happen in the city in order to see change and in order to see the people coming in. So I want to just pray for us. Some of us haven't ever been baptized in the Holy Spirit. You've never received the Holy Spirit. You never had an experience where you trusted and asked God. The Bible clearly says, if you ask me for a stone, I haven't done F1 in a long time. I always remember the scripture. If you ask me for a stone, for a bread, will I give you a stone? If you ask me for a fish, will I give you a serpent or a scorpion, something like that? How much more if you ask me for my Holy Spirit, will I not give it to you? I, the Father that knows how to give good gifts to my children. So some of us just need to ask God for that Holy Spirit and that impartation and that anointing that I was speaking about, that pouring over of the oil and the Spirit that came in. Some of us are just going to have to trust God for that so that that can happen. And we're going to trust God that is that the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Some of us have already received that. But over the last however many years, we've become, for some odd reason, we've become hired servants. And we've run away a number of times. And we've shifted from one place to the other. We've taken care of the flock, yeah, a little bit. And we're there. And we somehow pretend to be the image of a shepherd. But when the going gets tough, there's no way we're going to confront the enemy. And there's no way we're going to run after that lion. No way, Jose. But there's some of us that need to be take up that role again. As Peter was recommissioned, he denied Jesus. He ran away. He was a hired hand. Despite having walked with Jesus for 3 years, he just didn't have an understanding of what Jesus called him for. And that's the thing with us. A lot of us don't understand that our throne and our crowns is only coming to us somewhere in the future. We want it now. We want the power. We want the honor. We want the praise of the people around us. We want to be elevated, established in places of authority. We don't understand that what Jesus called us to is to serve and to become shepherds. And that's why we're running away when the lion and the bear comes. So some of us just needs to recommit to that role as shepherds of God's flock and actively commit to going out into the city and gathering the lost sheep. Some of us, you must really, I really trust that maybe if someone in the band can just come up, I really trust that you ask God for it. Ask God to show you which portion of the scattered sheep or of the flock that are in the house tonight that he's called you for. And if he shows that to you, you commit to being a shepherd for that group of people and going out. So that I also want to do tonight. I just want to anoint some of you. We've got some oil in front here. Bernie, if you can maybe come and help me up front here. You can all stand with me. If some of you want to, you've never experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then the people laid hands on you and you received the Holy Spirit. If you haven't received that, then I'll just ask you to maybe come forward and stand on that side for me. And some of you that feel that God revealed something to you tonight about being a shepherd, that he wants to send you out and he wants to raise you up as a shepherd for his flock, and you want to be recommissioned maybe as Peter was recommissioned, and you want to take up that role as a shepherd, I just want you to come maybe to my right, your left here in front, so we can just anoint you again symbolically. And I just believe that we're going to do it as a simple act of anointing you, but I really believe, and I just want to declare now that as we do that and as you guys bring your hearts before God, that there will be outpouring of his Holy Spirit into your hearts, and the power of the Holy Spirit will once again rest on a lot of us here in church, and we will go out and we will take up our role as shepherds in this city. So you guys can, those that want to come forward and that want ministry, are welcome to come forward.
The people, we're gonna carry on worshiping, and let's see where God takes us from there. And I ask some of the facilitators to pop up in front, and we're just gonna anoint these people.
I just think we should do this. Potentially do this corporately, everyone together. So we're just going to anoint everyone, and then I'm going to pray together, and we're going to trust God to just, I'll just pray for all of us together. That'll probably be, and if you feel that you need ministry time afterwards, then just stay behind so that we can individually pray for you if there's something that you want to have prayer for. Okay. Any more for said that is going to just come to the front, and everyone else, we assume you want prayer, so we'll just. Thank you for your presence in this place tonight. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that is in here, Lord. And I just come, thank you, Lord, that as the people were gathered in the upper room, Lord, and your Holy Spirit came upon them as flames of tongues of fire, Lord God, I just thank you that right now every person here that we've anointed, Lord, I thank you that they have asked for your Holy Spirit, Lord God. We just come and pray that you will just release your Holy Spirit over every single one of the people here tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. I just speak an impartation of your Holy Spirit right now, Lord God. I thank you that as they go out from this place, Lord God, that they will be full of and controlled by your Holy Spirit, Lord God. I thank you that your gifts of your Spirit will be stirred up and kindled in everyone's heart, Lord, that is here tonight, Lord. I thank you for a revelation of your shepherding role that you have called them to, Lord God. And I thank you that as they go out, Lord, you will open their eyes, Lord God, to see the lost sheep of the city, Lord God. And I thank you that you will open their eyes and that you will give them a revelation of the people in the city that you have called them to, Lord God. And if it's not of the city, Lord, I pray that you just break that open to them and reveal to them who the sheep are that you have called them for, Lord God. I thank you for a boldness. I just speak in the name of Jesus to every knee of every person that have come forward here. I just just speak a strengthening of those feeble knees, and I just declare that you will not run away as the hired servant, and you will stand up and you will confront, and you will go after the lion, and you will go after the bear, and you will not just in your rational mind allow fear. You have not received a spirit of fear, but you have received a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. In Jesus' name, we just thank you for your spirit, Lord. You just come and constantly remind us and show us and lead us and guide us, Lord God. You say in your word, Lord, that in Psalm 33, Lord God, I thank you that your rod is there and your staff is there to guide us and lead us. Lord, you are our true shepherd, Lord God, and each and every one of us is in need of a shepherd, Lord. We need you to guide us and lead us, Lord. But thank you that you're raising us up as shepherds, Lord God, as we imitate you, Lord, as we become more like you, Lord. I thank you that you transform us, Lord, into your likeness, Lord. And every person here tonight, Lord, I thank you that process of transformation into your likeness, Lord, that you will just fast track that tonight, Lord God, that you will just reveal to us your heart and your role as shepherd, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, that there will be just a standing up, Lord God, in the city, Lord, that there will literally, I just declare that the harvest is plentiful, Lord, but the laborers are few, Lord, but the people that have come forward tonight, Lord, we just commission them right now into the harvest, and we just declare that you will go out in the power of the Holy Spirit, and you will fulfill your role as shepherds, Lord. We just speak to every wolf and every lion and every bear that is in the city right now. We just declare that every sheep that you have stolen, we will come after and we will take back those sheep, and they will come back into the fold. And every person that have been taken out of this community, that have been lured, that have been where the thief have come to steal and kill and destroy, thank you, Jesus, that you have come so that they may have life and that they may have it abundantly, Lord God. And we just thank you that you are the good shepherd, and you will bring those people back, Lord. They will come back into our fold, Lord. I thank you that our flock will not be scattered. I thank you for a unity, Lord, a divine unity, Lord God, in the flock, Lord. We will not allow the enemy to come in and scatter the flock, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. Everyone that is isolated, we call them right now to come back into the flock. Everyone that is on the periphery, everyone that have been believing lies, everyone that is slightly deceived, in the name of Jesus, we just speak truth into your minds right now. We just declare that you will come back into the flock where you are safe and protected. In Jesus' name.
If you're up in front and you haven't received ministry and you want specific prayer, I'm going to ask for us to sit in the wings. And for the facilitators up in front, please just pray for the people. Can I encourage you to pray? Those that have responded to this, it's about us bringing our hearts to the Lord. So let's bring our hearts to the Lord and let the Lord come and minister to us. And we as facilitators just facilitate that process. All right, so facilitators, it's not about your massive prayers tonight. It's really about us making connection with the Lord.